Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the OK Gamers Podcast. I'm Brian, here with Andrew, Dan, and Pat.
Hello.
Got a full house this week.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks.
Too many boys.
What? No.
How many boys is the ideal amount of boys?
Four, I guess. Perfect amount of boys.
Yeah, I right? I don't. Now. I don't believe you now. I want to know what you actually meant.
No boys, because I'm not alive one boy? At that point.
Well, that was a very dark statement to start the show. So, Andrew, what have you been playing?
I beat Ghost of... Oh, hold on. I forgot to turn that off. I beat Ghost of Tsushima, and I got the Platinum before Dan, even though he beat it before me.
Was it a race?
I didn't know. I was in a race.
No, it was a race. I liked it a lot. Honestly, I got so used to playing it for multiple hours a night that when I finished it, I kind of didn't know how to do it myself. And last night, I started up like three games. I played each one for like an hour and turned them all off.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
I actually have to add it to my notebook. But yeah, I played Ghost of Tsushima. It's up there probably as one of my favorite releases of the year. It was just kind of like open world like checklist game, which I like playing every once in a while. You know, it's just like a nice little like cleanse to get like, oh cool, let me get like a big open world game in, get it out of my system, and then we're good. And this one happened to be amazing.
See, that's the thing with Ghosts that like I'm very much not in that mindset anymore, and like I think that's what Last of Us did so well. Like they gave you one really really good open world section, and I got to like run around and check those boxes, and then like right after that it was just a nice linear progression. And like I think like that's perfect for me nowadays. Like that's exactly what I want.
Open sandbox.
Like the biomes, like whatever you want to call it. Because like just having a giant map and just having like a ton of shit to do, I play for hours and I feel like I accomplish nothing, and then I just get exhausted, and then like the next night rolls around and I'm like I kind of like drag my feet before I sit down to play it
because I know it's this.
I'm just gonna like rinse and repeat until you know 50 hours later, and it's like ah fuck.
Two questions for you. One, Last of Us Part Two. Don't you think I could have done with one more open area towards the end?
I will agree, yes. If they had another open area similar to Day One Seattle with Ellie and Dina, then I would have been hyped if they did something with, minor spoiler, that's, Abby and, like, you know, you know, the character she's with.
I think that's probably
to that
the
point,
gripe with
I,
that game. Is it's
I did like
how it's
yeah,
just
I
one.
Mean, true. Yeah, that's a good point. That's fair criticism.
I thought the whole game was going to be like that. And it's like, nope, just this one area. Enjoy that 2 hours. Now it's back to just this, and then it never changes again.
But I felt like the areas they dumped you into, like, were open enough, though. Like, there was enough houses
to
go in and
like
out,
a,
and, like...
You know, like, you never got, like, a bunch of optional objectives.
You never got, like,
a
nice map again.
You also gotta remember that, like, with, like, the second character you play as, like, it's you hit the ground running with that, with her. Like it's
you do.
It's,
which
like,
is cool.
It goes from fucking 0 to 10 almost immediately, so, like...
And then the other
10,
thing...
that's it? 60? Wouldn't that be the...
Just 10.
0 to 60.
10 miles per hour.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking, like, music volume. So fuck all of you.
Mine goes up to 50.
Well, then it would be 11.
Oh, sorry.
Come on. Are you not a
rock
boy?
No, I'm not a rock boy.
The other thing I wanted to add with, like, with Ghost of Tsushima, I like that there's a lot of optional shit to do, but, like, the majority of it, like, does something, minus, like, the haiku stuff. Like, I don't really care about the headbands, but, like, you have the springs that bring up your health. You have the bamboo thing that brings up your resolve. Foxes upgrade your charm. So it's cool that you at least got something that, like, is beneficial directly, like, to the player, like, from each one, which is really cool. Although I will say towards the end, there was, like, a silly amount of charms, I feel like. Where
I had so many duplicates.
The duplicates were silly.
There should have been like a vendor,
because you can stack them.
I think there also should have been like a vendor or something in the game that like you can go like maybe fuse charms or sell them or something.
They could have did
like,
a lot more with the charms for sure.
Yeah.
because they were onto something with the fox shrines where that would upgrade certain charms, but I think they could have done something a little
something
bit more,
with the fox shrines needed to change
with that. But yeah, but like I would say the last like the last act and a half, I had my charms figured out and I never changed them out. I'm like, cool, this is my playstyle. This is what I like. Even when I got like the ghost armor, which is what I ran for the entire like rest of the game, like I never changed it. Even with that, the perks that were there kind of fit in with what I had. Well, I mean, I'm already, you know, preset with my charms, and I was like, oh, cool. I'm like, I'm good.
I actually, like, I'm good like towards the end, like Act Three, I remember changing my charms around because like the Fox, the Inari charms that you get.
Sure.
There's one, like, after you upgrade it enough, it becomes, it gives you, like, a major buff and, like, two different things that another piece of armor that I was using for a long time also gives you. So I, like, was using, I, like, switched my stuff around and then put on the ghost armor and then used that Inari charm or whatever it was to get the perk that I lost from the other armor. So, like, I ended up switching my stuff around. But, yeah, like, those two Inari charms ended up being like two of the best in the game. Like they were, like,
I think that's the point.
Super ridiculous. Yeah.
You're working towards them. They better be better than the ones that you're dropping.
Yeah, I did fucking 20 following like 20 foxes to get those fucking charms. They better be good.
And yeah, I mean personally, the open world didn't like. I'm a huge advocate of like not every single game that comes out needs to be a fucking open world because I feel like that's all that happens now is like. A good 75% of the games that come out, it's, oh, we have this huge sprawling open world and blah, 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 whatever. I think this game did, like, a lot to, like, mitigate, like, my fatigue with open worlds personally.
Yeah, I feel like I was never traveling, like, far. Yeah. Even when it was, like 1K plus, like,
Well, the fast travel also helped with that, too.
Yeah, that was my biggest
point. Yeah, but even when you weren't, even when you were just, like, traveling, like, by horseback, like, I felt like I was like, oh, cool, like,
yeah,
I got there
yeah,
quick,
I agree,
and it didn't, like, take me
it never
yeah,
felt
like
a chore
you know,
to
then,
go somewhere
yeah
well, I mean like for at least to, I guess to play a little bit of devil's advocate and like to Dan's point the fast travel like the fact that you could just any little thing you find like a fox shrine a hot spring anything that's on
literally
the map
everything
is
a
fast travel
spot,
point
yeah.
And they give that to you right away it's not like you have to unlock that at any point so it's great but then I just feel like I'm skipping over the traveling and like missing out on this like the game is really really pretty. But it's also like at the point, like to play devil's advocate, like it's a fucking huge open world, and I don't want to spend an hour just fucking riding around on my horse, like or hour plus, like between the travel time from getting to objectives and shit I got to do.
You're right. I mean, I didn't mess with the fast travel until it was like once I finished out an area and I went back to clean up. That's when I would fast travel. But other than that, I never really fast traveled, and I also
Fuck that. I do it all the time.
I also never felt like I was spending a ton of time going from objective to objective because I think the map. Isn't big. Like, I don't think it's huge. And once you leave an area and you 100% it, there's no reason to go back to it, which is, like, cool. So, like, I saw it as, like, three small maps. Like, that's kind of, like, how I viewed it because once you finish Act 1 and you wipe everything out, like, the side objectives, and you move on to the middle part of the map, that's, like, it. Like, there's no need to go up. There's no need to go down because this is where everything's happening right now at this moment. So, for me, it was, like, it was more of, like, Phantom Pain, honestly, where you got, like, two small like sandbox type areas like that's how I approached it but that's just like how I played I would wipe out the area and like cool I never have to go back there so the map is smaller so by the time I got to Act 3 there was like little to no map for me because I had finished the middle two areas and I feel like the last map or the last island or the last part of the island of Tsushima seems
smaller. It's smaller. It's the smallest area.
Right?
It's the smallest. The three is the third is the smallest area.
It's smaller, and I also think it's a shorter chapter.
It is much, much shorter.
Much shorter,
well, it seems like the first one is the longest, Act 2.
Yeah, I will say, Brian, like some of Act 1 was a bit of a drag. With Act 2, the story like really picks up, and then from there on, like that little bit of drag I started to feel towards like the back half of Act 1, like, it went away immediately because the story, like, just brings you right back in. And then when you get to Act 3, like, again, the story, like, bumps up again and it becomes, like, even more interesting because there's more, like, internal conflict between Jin and not as much like, external with, like, the Mongols and stuff, which is cool. Like, they did a good job with making each part of the map look different visually, and they also, I think, did a good job with how the story changed, like, vibe-wise. Like, Act Three almost feels like a
different game. Yeah, like just
because it's like drastically darker.
Yeah, yeah. The vibe of the entire game takes a fucking significant shift in Act Three,
which was a really cool way to kind of like re-peak my interest. Where it's like, oh, cool, like Jin's a cool character, and I like cared about his well-being for most of it, but for Act Three, I like genuinely gave a shit about him, and same with his supporting cast because. Their side quests were coming to an end too, and you get more invested in those characters.
So the end of Act Two going into Act Three was like the biggest moment for me, where I was like, "Yeah, this is great!" Like I'm having the relationships that are like that, everything that's happening, like coming to a head right now is fucking awesome. Like I'm all in.
End of Act Two to Three is the best. Yeah. Part
I agree
of the game,
with you that. Yeah.
It's so much better than Act 1 and then half of Act
2. Act 2 and Act 3 definitely was the best, which is why I kind of felt like when I kind of reached, like, the climax, per se, then, like, and then also just having, like, still the same old open world things to do in the third area just didn't feel like I wanted to do those things. I wanted to see the story. I wanted to finish up the tales, and I didn't want to look for foxes anymore. I didn't want to find Haiku. Mystic quests or whatever, that's fine. But like, I didn't want to do a random side quest. Like, I just kind of felt like the third area should have been straight story, and that's it. I don't think it should have been anything else.
Well, I think it was drastically, like, there's drastically less side
there's not much, but
three.
Like, literally.
Which is cool, like, because I wasn't looking for, like, I never broke away from the main path, like, at that point. It was like, oh, there's a thing here, let me stop and do it, because, like, Act 1 I got fucked, where, like, I didn't do everything as I came across it, so it popped up on my map, but it wouldn't clear, and I couldn't tell the difference between, like, the white icons and the gray icons, so I, like, really looked to see, like, what I finished and, like, what I didn't. So Act 2 and 3, as I passed stuff, I was like, all right, let me do it. I won't go looking for it, but, like, let me do it. Just because I'm here, and then I'll move on. But I never went, like, looking for things to do in Act 2
Act 3, like, I would come across, like, a fox, and I'm fucking following you, fox, now right now. You know? But I just kind of felt like...
I feel it
should have been... I personally think the area should have been even a little bit smaller, and it should have just been straight story stuff, and then you're done with the game.
I think that it would have been way too jarring, like, to change the game up that drastic. It would have been like, okay, like, the game just changed. Now this is, like... just like straight linear, but I'm in an open world and there's like.
I guess just the way the game played, I kind of felt like it was kind of funneling you into something smaller, smaller, smaller. So I don't know. Maybe it would have felt weird if it was like that. But I just the overall fatigue was hitting me real hard by the third area. I didn't like the way the third area looked,
which I get.
It was very dreary. It wasn't like there was nothing really. I didn't like the snow. You know, I also like wonder how anyone survives in the snow when they're all wearing like sandals. But you know, whatever.
Did you do all the mythic tales? So you did
the mountain
that was my favorite.
Yeah, I would agree. I was not like expecting that, and then like I was the first one. I was climbing up. I'm like, is he like dying? Is he like what's you know? And I was like, oh shit, he's dying.
Like, why is? And then I was like, I ran back. I didn't run forward. I was like, I'm at the fire. I know there's one back there. I thought I had to pick up. I thought I missed a
something,
torch
or
something.
No, I was like, "This is not dying. He's a samurai." And he's like, "Oh shit, he's dying! I gotta get the fire." That one was really cool.
I guess so. We don't. I have another thing. I another game I want to talk about. If you guys are done talking about,
Sushima.
Yeah, you guys have pretty much said everything there is to, and I'm trailing way behind on this one, but I'll get there. So
I started, Brian. Like, I think once you get into like. Act 2 on, you're gonna dig the story. At least.
I mean, no, I dig the story. Don't get me wrong. I'm just not like enthralled with it. Like, I think it's a good video game. Like, I'm not like it's not like it's what I want to sit home. Like, I'm after this, I'm probably gonna play Destiny, which sounds fucking ridiculous, but that's just the fact of the matter.
Yeah. No,
so it's as much as I know, like, it's a game I want to play, but I'm just not like, oh shit, I gotta fucking sit down and play this. Like, it's all I want to do.
I don't think the beginning of the game does a good job at sinking its claws into you. Like. Narrative-wise?
Yeah, like, there's a major turning point. Even, like, Act 1 into 2, like, the major climax of Act 1 is, like, also a good point where you're like, oh, shit, cool, all right, let's do this. Because, like, that, like, you do Act 2, or you do that mission, and then you immediately go into Act 2, and it's, like, you're doing cool shit, like, right away. And then
it's cool.
Act 2's story, like, as a whole just picks up more, and then, obviously, like, Act 2 into 3 is, like, fucking, like, the point where you're like, yeah, boy. But yeah, there'll be a point where, because honestly, like Jin, like as cool as Jin is, he's kind of boring.
He is a little bored.
Like he's very one note like throughout Act 1.
Yeah,
which is why Act end of Act Two. You know,
I mean,
parts specifically.
And then even like there's even parts of like Act Two where like he gets a little bit like more deeper and like more like he challenges himself emotionally more throughout.
Yeah.
So it'll grab you, Brian. Yeah. I promise.
Also, one thing is the map's fog needed to be difficulter than the water because sometimes I didn't know if there was the edge of the map or it was fog.
Yeah.
I can
agree with that.
Like the map wasn't great. Could have been better. Look cool, but it wasn't great. So, what's your other game, Andy?
I started playing West of Dead.
Same.
And it's pretty cool. I'm liking it. The combat, the gunplay was like a little weird at first. I still think it's a little weird with like certain weapons, but the VO by
Mr. Perlman,
Ron Perlman, is really cool. The visual look of the game is really cool. I didn't know it was a roguelike game, so that like took me by surprise at first. But I'm enjoying it enough to I'm gonna, you know, like that's probably what I'll do tonight before I go to bed for at least a little bit. I'm digging it real hard. And your man looks really
cool. Where are you playing it, Andrew? Like,
Xbox. It's on Game Pass. I think I may rather, like, games like that, like Twin Stick Shooter, I usually prefer with a mouse. That's how I played Hotline Miami, so that kind of, like, set me up and spoiled me for how those games work. But I don't want to play it on my PC because it doesn't have ultra-wide support, and the black bars drive me crazy.
So this West of Dead, like, I've noticed because I played it a little bit last night, too. There's, like, there's a small amount of lock-on that I've noticed.
With certain guns.
even without, like, I was using a pistol and a shotgun.
Yeah.
And, like, I was...
Just don't use the right stick to aim, and it'll always lock on. Once you use the right stick, it kind of
stops. Yeah,
it kind of
gives you, like, a free
aim.
If
you aim with...
Yeah, yeah. So, like, that kind of mitigates it a little bit, which is a little weird for a twin stick. But, I did enjoy what I played. Like, I can agree with you.
It's
like,
fun.
There was, like, the first weapon they give you was a musket, and it, like, it doesn't...
It's weird.
Like, it feels bad to shoot. Like, I'm going to go straight up and just say, like, it doesn't feel good to shoot that thing.
Yeah. The way it works, just so, like, you two know and, like, the people that are listening, you, like, hold L2 to aim, and then you let go to fire, but then you have to, like, hold it and let go again to fire, like, a second round and a third round, whereas with the pistols, you just, like, hold the right trigger and it's just like boom 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 boom. So like that makes more
shotgun
more
you just
sense,
pull and it shoots like the musket, like you have to like charge the musket.
Weird.
It's weird.
I feel like a twin stick shooter that has guns that feel bad is kind of like the one thing you don't want to happen.
Well, yeah, I mean
I will say it's that one that feels bad to me. Like and like there are a lot of other guns in the game that I've come across that don't feel as bad and that are also just like way cooler. Like
it's a straight side decision. On their part.
Yeah, it was.
No,
we were talking about it a little last night, and it's like it just felt like a counterintuitive because like twin sticks, you kind of want to be like moving as much as possible, and like
pop,
ducking in, shooting some guys, and then bouncing out, and like having to like hold down a trigger and then a release to shoot, and then wait for him to reload, and then hold it down again and release to shoot. Like, just didn't feel just counterintuitive to like the type of game it is. I think it's technically a beta right now, isn't it? I don't think it's full release.
I think there
will be changes to that kind of stuff. Like,
I will say, it did like scare me at first, like when I like because that was the first gun I used was the musket, and I was like, oh man, guns. Like I was like, I don't like this, and then I was like, oh okay,
that gun specifically like primed me to like not like the game. I was like, this is gonna
I almost turned it off. I was like, oh man, this sucks.
I gave it a chance. I gave it more of a chance.
Okay, it's just that gun.
It's weird that was the gun that they chose to like. Start you off with. So I was like, oh,
maybe they give you the worst one first, so everything just feels better afterward.
It's possible.
Like, but it's cool. I'm gonna see it through. I also started Bloodstained, and I'm just don't think I'm in the mood for that kind of game. So I think I'm gonna just leave that.
You were in the mood
for
that kind of game yesterday.
I was specifically in the mood for a Metroidvania, and then I turned it on, and I was like, you know what? I'm not feeling this. So I turned it off, and I watched the first episode of Castlevania.
Anti shit I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
All Castlevania is amazing.
Castlevania is fucking great. So,
yeah.
Very good.
The first episode was great. I have to turn on the subtitles, I think, though, because I'm having a hard time hearing
some of them.
The audio,
that show is very.
The audio is
whispering. The dialogue is very quiet in that show.
I mean, I watch everything with subtitles, but
do
that
you?
Show.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, games,
oh, okay.
TV.
I always wanted to, but I thought I'd be a crazy person.
Oh, my girlfriend makes fun of me fucking endlessly for it. And
I have
a hard time hearing them sometimes, dude.
All right, cool. Yeah. I'm going to turn those subtitles on. It's
the best is the games where you put ambient noises on subtitles, so it's just like, ah, like, you know, like noises that don't need subtitles.
Rustling leaves.
Yeah.
Yep.
Woof. Oh, that's all I got, though, like, playing-wise.
Me and Pat have a game that we've tried.
Yeah.
We tried Fall Guys.
Battle Royale
where you play as a little Laffy Taffy boy. It was fun.
Jelly Bean.
Yeah, we played for about like an hour. We played a bunch of different game types. Me and Pat did not win at all. Pat came very close,
close
to winning.
Once.
Super close. Actually, that was it was a lot of fun watching him and, like, eight people, like, do like this fall, like you it's like you were standing
the
on a platform
tile.
And tiles would fall, and then like it was a bunch of platforms you had to stay on longer than other people. So like watching Pat do that was like intense as fuck. And like, you know, I think we both said the same thing, Pat. Like, it's good with if you're playing with maybe just one other person, like we were, it's definitely solid for like an hour or so of fun. But then eventually it's like, okay, I'm gonna do something else, because like a lot of the game types are like more RNG, like random base, rather than like how good you're doing, you know, the one with like the
ball. It's mostly the team ones. The team ones are mostly like, because you're completely reliant on like the entire, like your entire team plus the other two teams or other team, and like how badly they're doing, or like if they just get lucky and like they're able to just fucking hold on to their shit. Like,
well, that's what I mean. Like the ball one, like there's like, you know, three sections of the map, and there's like five balls, and then whichever section of the map the ball is in, that's a point for your team. And that sounds like, okay, that just sounds well a concept, but like it's just like you could smack a ball and it completely go somewhere else, and then some other guy is just running and it hits him and then it goes over there. And it's like, you know, and you can't control any of that. So, but the ones that are just the obstacle.
A little bit of everywhere.
The obstacle courses are really fun. Like, I think we would all have a blast playing. It's only $20, like, even if it's only a couple nights of, like, dumb fun. But I think if, like, all four of us played it, or, like, or Teddy or John, whoever, I think we could get, like, a little bit more fun out of it. Like, I don't know if it's going to be, like, a game I play forever. You know, I don't know if you feel differently, Pat.
I mean, yeah, it'll be cool to, like, jump in, like, every, like, now and then. Like, if we're, like, you know, say we're in that point in our time, like point in our lives where we're like, we're not really not playing Destiny or anything, and like we want to jump on and play some with each other. Like, yeah, they jump on for that, jump on Fall Guys for like an hour, hour and a half, and have a good time. I personally wish the entire game was like the obstacle courses, because I think that's the best part of it.
Yeah.
Like running around like MXC style, like just fucking like wacky shit happening, and like it's just the stupid music going, and like everybody's just doing stupid shit. Like that's, I think, where like the high point of the game is. Even like the sudden death shit, like when it's like the like top eight or whatever, like that stuff is like super cool. I don't think the game really needs team based anything, because it's supposed to be like a battle royale deal.
I could get down with team based stuff if it was just better team based stuff, I guess.
Yeah, but, like if they were able to, like, you know, maybe if it was like its own separate, like completely separate mode. Like,
yeah,
here's,
I
like
agree.
If you want to do team Fall Guys, like this is like where you go. Yeah. But yeah, it's cool. I enjoyed like the hour we played with it.
Sure. It's like refreshing. It's just like it's
It was just like stupid fun.
Thing
like we were
to
just
play. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of dumb fun. You're just running around being dumb.
I know people really like it. Like it's really popular right now. So like the maps are just like copy and pasted blocks. So like there's no like they could pump out maps as much as they want.
Yeah.
100%. So like I could totally see them being like, oh, here's the bi-weekly map pack, here's five maps we're throwing in there, you know, which I think is what they need. I think I was reading a Steam review that was negative, because I was like, what kind of, like, bad could people say about this game? And like that was the thing, he's like, you know, he kind of felt like after playing for a while that like there needed to be more maps. I think there's 25 at launch, and he said there should be like quadruple that amount, you know, because they're easy. So like once it gets to that point, I think it could be a lot of fun when you have like maps that you still haven't seen after playing for hours.
Like
we played for an hour, and I think we got one map twice, a couple maps twice.
We had a pretty good variety when we were playing. There were like a couple of game types that I didn't see. Like I think I got like eliminated, and they were doing like something with like chicken eggs or some shit that like I never played. But like, I don't know. Like we got through. I think we played through like almost all of them. Like within like an hour.
I mean, I'm sure there's some that we missed, but yeah,
there's probably a few that we missed, but we played through a good portion of them.
Yeah.
So like I could definitely see like that kind of getting stale after a little bit, like,
yeah, for sure.
All right, yeah, like I want to do a different obstacle course now. Like I've done this one like 8 times today.
Yeah, but no, it's dumb fun. It's only $20, so it's like you're not breaking the bank if you don't really like it that much. But like it's also, not I think
it's PS Plus on PlayStation too.
Also a good point.
Yep. Is it really? That's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, so pretty fun. Pretty fun game. You've been playing anything else, Pat? Oh, we said the same thing at the same time. I started, not too much to say right now because I just started them. I started back up Pokemon Sword just because I've had that like in my Switch since like I got it. So I picked my Pokemon. I picked Score Bunny, the little fire rabbit. He's my best friend. We're going to, conquer the world together.
That's like the fire rabbit?
The fire one, yeah.
Yeah. That's like the little fire rabbit guy, right?
Yeah. I started that, and then I also started Trials of Mana.
You all right?
I'm a little ways into that, so I'll more to say.
I think we're losing Dan here.
I think we're having a technical...
Some technical difficulties.
Yes.
All right, well, let me... I'll go with what I'm playing while he figures out what's going on over there.
Yeah.
See, my fear is that Dan is continuing to talk right now, and now we're talking.
No,
over
I can hear you. I can hear you. I finished my point, and I'm quiet now.
Let's text the. I'll keep talking. I'll text.
So
I'm gonna text him directly, really quick.
Okay.
I am. I've been playing. I played and beat Carrion over like the last.
Oh shit!
It's a short game. It's like 4 or 5 hours at most. Played it over like a couple sittings. It was cool. It's a cool like Metroidvania, like different. Like you play as basically like the thing for the most part. Like you're like a fucking blob monster that like is just like slithering around like some facility, and you're just eating people and fucking mutating and shit. It was pretty cool. Ended.
How long was it? Like
it's like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. Okay. That's like that's one of the things I want to like play.
Yeah. It was quick. It was like I was surprised at how quick it was, honestly. It's refreshingly quick, and the story was like it's pretty minimal, but you can like infer what's going on and like the way it ends. I was like, all right, cool, and I'm cool with this. Like that was a fun ending. Like that was a fucking wild game. I'm good with it. And
do you grow bigger and bigger?
Yeah.
The
so
whole
like
time?
As you progress through,
well, that's really
cool. You get like it's called biomass. So like you increase your biomass and like you get like a second bar of health and you're bigger and you have all and you
turn into that thing from the end of Inside.
And then you like every time you upgrade your biomass, you get like abilities that are tied to that specific size.
Okay,
so you
cool.
get like your original size, like the smallest version of yourself. Like for instance, like the R like RB, I'm playing it on Game Pass. RB is tied to like this little like. They call it a cobweb, I think. It's like a little like a tentacle that you shoot out, and it can like flip switches and stuff. When you go up in size, that becomes like a slam, like you like bash through stuff. And then
okay, I was gonna ask like, do you lose abilities as you get bigger, so, or do you like shrink in size to use certain abilities?
Yeah. So what
or?
Happens is there's like around this facility there are like pools of like this liquid that you can go into. It's not water. It's like a pinkish color. You can go into it and you can deposit biomass. So like there's certain areas where you need to be a specific size. So you go into that water and you like shed like that like whatever size. Say so, like you...
I love how gross.
Oh
this
yeah, dude,
sounds.
It's like... the most disgusting. Like listening to him like fucking like tentacle himself around the fucking like facility is disgusting.
I really want to play it on my PC with headphones.
It's fucking disgusting like... sounding.
Oh, the squishies.
Yeah. Like listening to his like tentacles like slapping on the walls and shit while he's like fucking it's gross. But yeah, you like go into like these little pools of water or whatever they are, and like you shed like you basically like shed a health bar, and you like go decrease in size to go do like to clear that area, and then if you ever wanted to like you can just go back and reclaim that, like you can just grab it, eat it, and then you're back to whatever size you were prior.
Yeah.
But yeah, every single size has specific abilities except for this one ability that carries over across all sizes. But yeah, there's every size gets its own like unique abilities and stuff, which is cool.
Yeah, I wanted to play it. I thought it looked really cool. I also like I can't help but think of Krang from T Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles every time I see the little man, and that alone makes me kind of want to.
Yeah, I
just to play as a little stomach
I got the Thing vibes myself.
Okay,
you're like especially the end of that movie, but yeah, it's it was cool. I had a good time with it.
If it's that quick, I'll check that out. I might play that before I jump back into West of Dead because I looked up on how long to beat, and at West of Dead it's like a 12 to 14 hour game.
That was gonna be.
That's a lot longer than I thought for a game like that.
Yeah, I mean that's I guess that's because you're dying over and over again. Yeah, but yeah, no, I think the game looks dope.
Yeah, it's fun. The only downside, one of the only negatives that I can really think of is that there isn't like a map, so you're kind of just figuring it out. Like there was a couple times where like I got completely fucking lost because I didn't like it didn't really indicate where I was supposed to go, and like I eventually just.
There's no map,
which I guess makes sense.
Is it like a Metroidvania where you're going back, like backtracking a lot?
Yeah, but it's brief. Like you'll go back to an area and then like immediately go into another area for the most part. But sometimes like finding the way back to that area because you have to like go through like they're not like seamless. Like you're not like you have to like go through like a hole and you come out somewhere else kind of thing.
Okay.
But I mean, I guess it makes sense that there's no map because you are like just a fucking like blob monster. So like, why how's he gonna like pull a map out and be like, where am I supposed to go?
Yeah, he's not fingers.
I mean, he's got tentacles.
True.
But yeah, it that it just kind of made it hard to navigate and like figure out where specifically I was. I mean,
do you fight? Are there like bosses?
No, kind of. I guess there's like these.
Okay.
There are soldiers in the facility that you can like kill, whatever. Like that they can shoot at you, burn you, whatever. And then later on, there's like these mechs that they get in, like these mech suits. That they get in and they like they can fucking
so they get
yeah they can like shred you if you're not careful, so you just have to like methodically like pick them apart, like you like go up and you'll like grab like you have this little tentacle that you can use to like grab people or things, so you can like fly past it, grab a piece of it and like rip it off. You have to do that like 4 or 5 times and you can pull the pilot out and then eat them. Yeah, it's pretty wacky. It's a cool game.
Are you like fast moving in the beginning, and do you get like as you get bigger and bigger, do you feel like a tank? Like, do you feel like heavier, like the way
so
you control?
So when you're the smallest size, you're like super fucking fast and like kind of hard to control because of how quick you are.
Okay.
And then every size, you're like the same speed, but because of how big you are, it's hard to like there's some areas where it's like. A tiny fucking like hole that you got to get through, but you have to like go through another cave and like come out another way, and like you like
yeah, that was my next question. Do the levels get bigger?
Not really, no. So like
okay, that's
you
cool.
like you
I
like
that.
Go through an area and like the one end of you will be like in through like the hole you have to get through, but like the bottom half is still like catching up, so like it takes a second.
Okay.
So like you're still like as fast as you always were, but like there's just more of you, so it just takes longer inherently for you to get to where you're going.
That's cool. I'm into that.
Sounds rad, man. I definitely that's on my list. I hope
it's cool.
It's a cool Game Pass
pickup. Like it's just
welcome back again.
Cool little 4 hour or 5 hour thing that was like you know took me like 2 or 3 sittings to like knock it out.
Yeah, I want to play it. I saw everybody talking about it online.
Yeah, it's if you said you're in the mood for Metroidvania, I would say that this is probably the one you would want to go with because. Bloodstained is like a lot, like there's a lot of shit going on in Bloodstained. It's like this is like a quick, like you know, little baby Metroidvania that you can actually like probably scratch that itch and bang it out pretty quick.
Yeah, I'll probably end up checking that out before I dive heavy back into West of Dead. I do want to give West of Dead like
same
time. I think it like deserves same. It. It's good. It's like yeah, it's good.
So yeah, and then I actually started up Alan Wake last night. Because it's on Game Pass also.
Hey, my
and
man.
I never played it. And the, love which we it. Will talk about in a little bit, but the Controls second expansion called AWE is coming out this month. And it has to do with Alan Wake, so I want to have like some kind of context for that. And yeah, I mean, I think I finished the first episode of Act 1 last night.
Cool.
I like it
so
a lot.
Far. How cool is the
combat's
combat?
Awesome. I really enjoy it. Obviously like, it's an old game. Graphics did not hold up well.
Yeah.
Acting is kind of stiff, but I can't really like, you know, this is I mean, I don't even remember when this came out. Welcome like this is that. Fucking game's old. So,
I'm actually curious, and I'm gonna look it up.
But yeah, I really I am enjoying it a lot. The I really like the atmosphere. Like, it's super cool.
2010.
Yeah, so 10-year old game. The atmosphere is really cool. The like Bright Falls, like the whole thing is super cool, and like it's kind of cool going back into this, like going playing this after Control, with like the context in your head, like the Bureau of Control and like the objects of power and like all that kind of shit, like going back
the old house,
yeah, and like going into like Alan Wake with that like in your head, like, all right, yeah, that makes fucking sense. Like, this is like super cool, and like I'm assuming, like, I don't know how the game ends, but like I would assume that like his typewriter is the fucking the object of power, like, that they're gonna associate with Control.
Well, you have to play the American
Nightmare DLC or whatever.
American Nightmare. Yeah.
No, it's the other one. I think American Nightmare is separate. So there's Alan Wake. I think there's two DLCs.
You might be right. I don't know.
And then there's the American Nightmare DLC. The American Nightmare DLC is different because it's the show that's
in the
universe. And then it does I forget, it's called like the Lighthouse or something like that. But when you beat the game, you don't beat the game. You have to play the DLC to get.
I wonder
the
how much that is now.
Is that not on Game
Pass? I didn't notice it.
No.
But yeah, I mean, again, like playing this with like the context of all the stuff that happens in Control is pretty cool. So I think that like is helping like with get me over like obviously like the graphical and like the acting like hurdles that are there. Just having like just the fucking raw interest in like the universe that Control like established. So yeah.
The I literally just Googled Alan Wake DLC, and the first like 25 fucking results are all about the Control like AWE expansion tying to Alan Wake.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't even know, because like when I search story DLC or when I search Alan Wake, the only expansion that comes up is the American
Nightmare.
Alan Wake's American Nightmare.
Okay, I'm on it right now. So there's two. One's called The Signal. The other's called The Writer.
And you have to do both of those to get the actual ending.
Yeah, gotcha. I think so.
Remember hating that when Alan Wake.
Yeah, no, it's stupid. That's
because I remember beating
dumb.
Alan Wake and being like, what? And then like,
so it says
you had to pay for it.
Yeah, and then you didn't know that at the time. Like, you didn't beat it, and the game was like, check out our DLC to find the true ending. You know, like it just ends. And you're like, okay, that kind of sucks. I never played the DLCs personally because I didn't like Alan Wake that much. But
the one's cool. The American Nightmare or whatever it's called is technically a separate game.
Yeah, it was
it's
a standalone,
it's like a standalone,
right?
Thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll have to check to see what's included in the because Xbox One X editions enhanced. That's the one on Game Pass, and I think the same. I think. Not a re-release, but they did have to do something to the edition of the game because it was taken down from all the stores due to the music copyrights. So yep. Microsoft actually reinitiated the licenses to get the games back, and that's why like Steam and Epic Games Store got them back, and then Epic Games Store did the free releases of both the Alan Wake original and the American Nightmare standalone DLC thing. So I'm going to have to look to see if The Signal and the other one that you mentioned, Andrew, are incorporated in that re-release of the game, because if those aren't, and I'm going to jump into it, I'm going to be a little annoyed at the fact that I'm missing out on like the final two acts of the main story.
Yeah, I'm gonna look.
I'll look into it after. It's not something we have to.
No, you know. I know. I'm curious for me. Like, I'm just like, I want to know. I would think that they just.
Yeah, I'm looking
it. Like, oh, here's
I'm looking
all
at
it.
My Game Pass download right now, and I don't see anything. Like, it's not. It doesn't say like re-release or like.
No, it does. Enhanced for PC includes Alan Wake's special episodes, The Signal, and The Writer.
Okay, that's good.
So if you have it on Epic. It comes with it. Hopefully, so
Andrew's Game Ranks fact checking came in handy right there. So fast he was able to
That's
fucking
amazing.
Find that shit.
Boom.
That's amazing. All right, Dan, did you want to?
I said my piece. My audacity heard it, so we don't have.
Oh boy, that's
we
gonna
don't
be
have
interesting.
To, I know I didn't talk for long. I knew I was breaking up. So I literally said like the two games I was playing because I just started them and that was it. So hopefully it doesn't sound terrible. So we don't have to
jump in. Just to add to your Pokemon thing, I also picked up Pokemon again because I hadn't played it like since I got it. But yeah, I was already like a couple gyms in when I stopped playing it, so I like picked it up. I did a couple more gyms, and then I think when we went to Atlantic City a couple weeks ago, I was playing it.
Yeah, I haven't even got that far yet. So
What do you, you said you picked?
Yeah, so that's why I said score buddy, and then you said that's the fire guy. I said yeah, the fire guy, and then that was, you know.
I picked the
fire guy.
I picked the little like water lizard man.
What are you, a fucking loser?
No.
The only option is the fuck that fucking bunny. All the other two fucking wieners are not.
You see, listen to me. Because every
you always go water
every
type.
The fucking what the fuck are you talking about? You never go water type. You only go water type if you're an idiot.
No, you always go water if you're like kind of a loser. You go fire, and if you're a total idiot, you
everybody believe. That plays a Pokemon game, they always pick the fucking fact. They always pick the fire starter.
Yeah,
and you can tell cool. that you can because the fucking what the hell what is the studio? I can't remember the studio's name. Whatever. The people that make Pokemon, Game Freak. Very, very clearly have a bias towards the fire type starter every single generation.
Yo, Andrew, you're telling me
and
if you...
yet...
If, sorry, I'll finish this point.
The fucking water Pokemon are always the better ones.
No.
Every time.
You're telling me that fucking like weird ballerina seal in fucking Pokemon Sun and Moon was cool?
I'm not saying cool.
Or the... That wasn't the better. Best. I picked the leaf Pokemon, Decidueye, or whatever the fuck, how to say his name. And he was a fucking badass he was a badass ninja owl, Andrew. You were going to play with your floppy
you
fucking
know the last
shitty
Pokemon game I played
water
was?
Ballerina squirrel.
You know the last Pokemon game
yeah,
I played
Pokemon
was?
Yellow.
Sapphire.
Okay. So like back in 2000.
Sapphire
was
great.
That was...
Game Boy Advance.
The... Yeah, right?
Yeah, I had Sapphire, Ruby, and Emerald because I fucking...
Whoa,
I
Pat. Like,
that's the last one I played. Not counting Let's Go Pikachu because that's essentially Pokemon Yellow. And then not counting, was it Soul Silver and Heart Gold? Because those are just remakes of Gold and Silver. But they're like new, like brand new, like I don't know anything going in Sapphire.
Coolest. We'll end it here. I don't want to hear your bullshit, Dan. Coolest starter ever. Totodile turns into Feraligatr, coolest starter ever. Water type, suck a wing.
No, that okay, yeah, that was cool.
So it's that's that a really cool. weird way to say Squirtle, but at
Listen,
least you're
Squirtle,
on water.
Squirtle,
so I'll take it.
Squirtle, turning into Blastoise. Blastoise is my second favorite, but Feraligatr. Feraligatr.
Nah, that's what.
I'll agree with that. I'm just saying, Pokemon Sun and Moon, the water type was fucking lame. You could either be a fire wrestler. Rabbit or a fucking ninja
owl.
Oh,
isn't that the big cat that's in Smash Bros?
This fucking thing, this weird like little fucking goblin alligator
Hell
thing. Dumb
yeah,
go,
dude.
This dumb
Hell fucking
yeah.
giant
fucking
alligator
belly.
Dog.
Yeah. It's the best.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Just trust us.
I usually don't.
Cool as shit.
Nice to know. How long you been known us?
Usually don't trust you.
Cool as shit.
Honestly, don't blame you.
Anyway, I'm done with my laundry list of things I've been playing. Brian, how about you?
Cool. No, we're done. I think we're done with games played.
No.
What kind of news we got?
Yeah, moving on to news. We'll start with the good ones. So Suicide Squad game in the works from Batman Arkham maker Rocksteady.
Cool!
So I think that we all kind of had a hunch that Rocksteady was making another DC superhero-related game, but now confirmed via their Twitter... with a picture of Superman, and on his head he has the Suicide Squad target. What's a target that says Suicide Squad in it? And the caption is "Target locked." Hashtag DC fandom August 22nd. I guess DC fandom is like an event or something.
Yeah,
right? Cool. And then hashtag Suicide Squad game. So
is it just me or does like Superman kind of look like a bad guy in that like little promo poster?
Did she, his eyes looked like
yeah.
Purple or
I'm wondering if
on.
Like, do you think this has any possibility of tying into like the Injustice shit, like at all?
Someone that works, well, not someone like a few NetherRealm devs are slated to appear at DC fandom or fandom or whatever the fuck. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's we don't know if it takes place in the Arkham universe or
yeah,
not.
So
we just know that Rocksteady is making it, so there's like a good chance that maybe it does. But
everybody that has analyzed this quote unquote teaser, which is literally just an image, that says that this does definitely lend itself to being a evil looking Superman. Yeah. So
that's the first thing I thought when I saw it.
Yeah, there is also, I have it up, Eurogamer put out an article on, I think it's June 22nd, 2020, titled Yes, Batman Arkham developer Rocksteady is making a Suicide Squad game. And they, in the writing, they talk about how there is a domain that was registered called Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League.com. So, that could be the name of the game, which would insinuate that Superman or the Justice League is the
bad
guy.
I mean, that's pretty much what Injustice became. It was like.
And then there's a. They also registered another domain called GothamKnightsGame.com. So that might be the name of the WB Montreal game that we know nothing about, other than that they teased it. And we got to see a brand new game announced before we got to see what their tease was actually about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. This with Rocksteady behind something like this, I think could be super cool.
Yeah, it was shitty to see everyone's reaction to it immediately. Well, it seems like most people on Twitter are only familiar with the Suicide Squad movie and not the really good comics, especially the New 52 ones that were written by Adam Glass. I think that's his name. Those were like really good. And even the old Suicide Squad
is great.
Books are like
great. That, I like that series so much that I bought like all of the old issues from like the beginning and read through all of them, and like they're awesome
and they're good. They hold up.
They're all really great.
Yeah. So very excited. August 22nd, we get more news on it.
Yeah, I really need to see, like, some, like, I mean, obviously, whenever a fucking game gets announced, the first thing I want to see is gameplay and, like, you know, like, kind of the meat and potatoes of what we're dealing with.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm, like, not afraid of is how it plays, because, you know, I thought the Arkham games controlled really well.
Yeah,
well, the Arkham games are great, but, like, now that they're, like, I feel, so the one, and I think we've said this before, Superman, like, he's, like, I feel like it's, like, the impossible, like, you know, because he's...
It is.
Like, it's, you know, he can fucking do everything. Like, he's just, you know, it's fucking Superman.
So Superman's a
stupid
comic book character.
Which is why they're like, kinda. Let's fight him so we don't have to explain how his controls like, work.
That's fine. I, you know, good point, Andrew. We could leave it at that.
Yeah.
So.
It's like, oh, what's the best way to put Superman in a, you know what? We'll make him the villain. That way he always kicks the shit out of you. And we don't have to, balance every enemy weird if you're playing as him. Like, cool.
That's a good point. Yeah. All right.
Figured it out.
Yeah. Nailed it. All right. So let's
give me a job.
it's that easy. All right. Let's move on to the PlayStation had a State of Play. So we'll just talk about some of like the some of the bigger announcements from that. So Spelunky 2 is coming out September 15th. I think Spelunky is probably like the most beloved roguelike in existence. I think I'm missing out on something because I've played Spelunky.
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
In the same boat.
I'm not like super obsessed with it, but I know how anticipated, how excited people are for this one. So to finally get a release date, that's really cool. I'm excited for people that are, you know, patiently awaiting this one. So, so there's apparently there's outer space in this one. So, and like a bunch of other, there's like a hell like dungeon. There's a bunch of areas. Good one, Dan.
I mean, how do you get to space? You go up. You go down. Unless you go down all the way through the Earth.
You go all the way down, and you come out the other side.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, come out
top. All right.
There's in this little blurb, it says the sequel boasts a host of new features, like levers.
Levers?
Levers? Levers. apparently it lets you interact with the world. Turkeys.
What a time to live.
Rideable turkeys. Sorry, that's an important.
Are you
making
this up, or is this really the list of things?
No, I'm actually reading this off Polygon.com.
Levers and turkeys.
Rideable
turkeys.
State of Play, so I can confirm that these were talking points of this.
And it says here that they are pretty sure they saw a walrus in a dress at one point.
That I don't remember seeing. But there's a lot of pugs, and you can throw them around and do shit with them.
Did you say throw pugs
around?
Yeah,
she like, I don't know, there was like a couple times where like she was holding a pug and like running through things with the pug in her arms. So I don't know.
What the fuck game are you guys talking about, man?
Spelunky 2. Look it up.
Spelunky 2.
Go look up.
Spelunky 1 has right. Stinks, and that's about it. And mummies
bats. I don't know.
Not fucking rideable turkeys and pugs that you could hold.
Go look up the
State of Play. And a walrus in a dress.
Spelunky 2 state of play thing. Okay. And you'll see all types of pugs.
Like the dog.
Yes, yes. What other kind of pug is there?
Yeah, I'm curious.
What is?
I mean, you know.
Pugs. No, explain. I don't know.
Like, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about.
I know, I need you to elaborate. You forget how much of an idiot I am.
All right, okay, so Hitman 3 will support VR.
Cool.
For PSVR, specifically.
I think it's all three of them. All three of the new ones.
All Hitman's World of Assassins trilogy.
Yeah, which is all the three, or... I think that's all of the... It's the two that came out and the new one coming out, right?
So in this blurb it says, World of Assassination was introduced in 2018's Hitman 2, which brought back missions from 2016's original game, six locations. It has a new progression system, weapons, difficulty levels, enemy AI. World of Assassinations went on to encompass several new missions in Hitman 2. And apparently they're adding, obviously, onto this with new features, areas, etc. with the third installment. So Hitman 3 was revealed at Sony's online event back in June. The game will also launch on Stadia, Windows, PC, Xbox One, Series X, all its good stuff, PS4, PS5. But now they've confirmed that Hitman 3 will have PSVR support. So.
It's cool. I'm surprised there isn't...
I hope it comes to real VR. Well, not real VR, but, like, you know what I mean. That was a shitty thing to say, but, like, Oculus and PC.
I'm surprised there's not more, like, uproar from all the people in the world that think, you know, the cause of violence is video games, being that you are basically putting on a helmet to, like as close as you can to, like, murder somebody.
with someone with piano wire. And then steal their pants.
So... I haven't really seen any uproar regarding this, so that's cool, I guess.
I think they're over it.
I don't think they're ever over it.
No, well, maybe not.
All right, so we were talking about Control and Alan Wake earlier, so I will mention that during the Sony State of Play, they also had the announcement trailer for the AWE expansion in Control. This one brings back the boy from Alan Wake.
Woo!
So, Control's AWE DLC will be available for download from the Epic Game Store, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One on August 27th. So that's very soon, which is really cool. Yep. In this expansion, Control's protagonist Jesse has to go after a mysterious being that's been haunting the sealed investigation sector. In quotes, the sector where the Federal Bureau of Control used to investigate AWE cases until things went awry. To defeat the being, Faden has to explore the case files, including one from the town Bright Falls. So, Control has been long rumored to take place in the same universe as Alan Wake, you know, and vice versa, because Control did have a few Alan Wake Easter eggs, not just one or two. So it said that this will obviously tie the games together even further. So
yeah, super cool. I am mostly excited that it is not a timed exclusive for PS4 like the first one was.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Someone who played the last DLC, because I was not a timed exclusive for PC. It was only locked against out on Xbox. Mm-hmm. That DLC was really good. A lot of fun.
Yeah, I want to go back and play it. I just
would recommend.
I didn't know that you played it.
Yeah, the Foundation. You're literally in the foundation of the old house.
Yeah, I remember.
Like you're underneath it.
I specifically remember Brian playing it because I was like, I went to go buy it and play it, and I couldn't. And I said something, and then Brian was like, I can play it. And, like, pretty much just
typical told me to Brian. Fuck off.
That's me. That's what happens.
Real asshole. Typical Real Brian. Asshole move.
Braid is getting an anniversary edition.
I mean, Braid does nothing for me, but I know people fucking love that game. So, like, I'm kind of...
I was just about to say he does nothing for me.
I thought it was a sequel at first.
What? No. Yes.
I thought it was a sequel at first.
I watched the trailer for it, and I was like, this looks not fun, but I guess I'll try when it comes out. That little boy, yeah, man. Is he a boy? Is he a man? Well, he's small?
Yeah. He's a man.
He's a little man.
He's a little man, but he's also like a we creepy talk stalker man.
That game gets mentioned in GameRank's videos a lot, and every time I talk about it, it looks cooler and cooler. So this might actually be
Same. I'll definitely try it, you know.
He's like a creepy stalker man. That's why, like, I thought it was a sequel at first. So I was like, "How are we gonna?"
Is that the story? I don't even know the story.
Yeah. The girl he's chasing after is like in a relationship with somebody or married or something, and like.
Oh, I think the ending of this game is like super fucked.
Yeah, it's like real because he's like a creep. Like he's chasing after this girl that like doesn't wants nothing to do with him, and he's like turning back time and like doing all this wild shit to like get to her, and she's like, no.
Yeah, and I think the ending's like fucked up.
That's cool. Now I'm extra curious.
Yeah, now I can't wait to play.
Just look up the ending. Don't waste your time. they showed off Crash Bandicoot 4 a little bit more. That's something we knew about, so that's not new. This looks really cool. Looks awesome.
Looks fucking awesome.
He plays Dingle Dial.
And Neo.
Game of the year.
Plays Neo Cortex. Yeah. Listen, that's cool.
Yeah, it is, but it's not as cool as Dingle Dial.
That's cool, you know.
It is fucking cool.
I've never played a Crash Bandicoot.
I mean, Andrew knows cool. Come on.
I'd be more
you never played any of the remakes? I mean, they literally gave them all.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Never did much for me.
Look at his fucking face.
Sorry.
Look at that fucking face.
All three of you looked at me like...
That fucking... Yeah.
Yeah, man. Warped in Time. Crash 3 is like a staple of my childhood.
I remember going to my cousin's house on vacation in the summer when I was like, when those were out when I was a kid, and playing them and being really bad at them because I'm bad at platformers, and imagine little fucking chubby me playing them, and I was even worse at them, and I didn't like them, and I never really got over
that. Sounds like you sucked.
Yeah, I totally sucked. I won't lie. It's all me. Just saying.
Well, now you're a grown ass man.
I'm still bad at platformers.
You're still bad at platformers.
Yeah, but you're better. But you're better.
Better than when I was seven. Yes, I'll give
myself
that.
And I would recommend that you don't play the first Crash because that game. I don't know how I beat that game when I was a child.
It's good up until the bridge level, and then it's
and then
impossible.
It just becomes impossible. So to start,
I watched that bridge level on YouTube when you guys were talking about it, and I think they made that to curb the population of children because the children like will jump out windows when they can't beat it. I think that was the point of that level.
So just start with if you ever play them, just start with two and then three. That's it.
Yeah, two. You could just that's fine. Okay. The first one. You know.
All right. So next time I see one,
Existence is cool. But
next time I see one of you, could let me borrow the Insane Trilogy.
I think I traded mine in. So not me. I'm out.
And I own.
Boom, Brian.
I don't have it.
I guess I'm going to Andrew's apartment. I'm going to sit with him and play it.
Gave Teddy my PS4.
Going to Teddy's house.
Okay.
Literally today.
Vatal Immortal got announced.
Vatal Immortal.
I still gotta play that. Immortal. I still gotta buy that.
I heard it's fine.
Jake, cool. I heard it's fun. Jake said it's just really cool to see. He said the best part about it is seeing Darth Vader like in like perspective, like seeing how big
actually
he
gigantic
actually is. It's like, yeah. He's that's like the coolest part of it. It's going like, oh, he's a big boy.
He's a giant. It's a giant.
That's
man.
Why everyone's afraid of Mufasa.
Okay. All right. Aeon Must Die is a cyberpunk fighting game that looks fun. Look neat.
Some nonsense. Did you hear like the drama behind it?
No. About that one? Aeon Must Die? No, I would have.
I don't know the details. Look it up. But supposedly, like the team that was helping to develop it got like walled out and like they lost the rights to the IP or something.
I thought that was a different game. That article up. That's this one.
Yeah. I think it's for that one.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so that's so they claim that they stole footage from them that was in this trailer, correct?
Yep.
And then
something
yeah,
like that,
so
yeah. I don't know.
I saw bold claims like you like they stole the game from us, like that, like some fucking bold ass shit getting thrown around.
Yeah, I gotta look more into it.
All right. Well, people should look into that. Hood Outlaws and Legends is a new PlayStation 5, PS4, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. I hate that I have to say all four of these now for certain things.
Say current and next gen consoles.
Thanks, Pat. Wasn't working that way. Hood Outlaws and Legends is a PvPvE heist game that looked neat.
I feel like something really similar to this came out like not that long ago, and I can't like pin like down what it was. But I remember like watching this and being like, I've played something that's almost exactly the same. I can't remember what it was.
All right, we'll move on quick. Bugsnax, Christmas 2020.
They showed off.
The kids love it,
they
man.
Showed off like gameplay or something for that, right?
Yeah, kind of.
They're
like,
I
need you to trap this bug snack for me. And he like threw a thing down and then it snatched it up and then he fed it to a seal man.
Next level gameplay.
And I don't. Next
and then level.
Like a, and then like a pizza dragon flew by at one point. I don't know.
Hot dog creatures and donut things. Looks great.
Looks great.
I need you to herd this burger thing into this fence.
Sounds like what my dad did. He's like fever dreams. Pizza dragons and hot dog people.
I personally, if kids like it, fine. I've never seen something that just disinterested me so much in my entire life.
Oh God, okay.
And it gives me like weird like pee-pee, like
gives me heartburn.
Yeah, gives me heartburn. Gives me like this weird like PTSD from like the Dreamcast. Like this looks like a fucking weird like Japanese Dreamcast game that I used to play.
Yo, remember that Dreamcast game? What was it called Seaman?
Yeah.
Come on,
you're a fish with a man. It was literally like a fish with
Dan,
a man face.
Look it up, Dan. Yeah, look it up.
Also,
just type in Seaman Dreamcast.
Also, look up Pen Pen Triicelon and tell me that Bugsnax does not look exactly like that. It's a fucking like fever dream nightmare, and that's like
what the fuck is this?
It's the exact vibes I get from fucking.
This is what
Bugsnax.
I pictured, like you see, but right before you die.
Are you looking at Seaman right
now? Yeah, I'm looking at this game.
Yeah.
That's what you see, right? That's what you see if you die super stone.
Welcome to the afterlife.
That's what you see.
What was the game related to this creature?
I don't even remember.
I don't remember.
Seaman is a virtual.
All I remember is reading about that in GamePro.
Seaman is a virtual pet video game for the Sega Dreamcast. I don't want this as a fucking pet. I want this nowhere near me.
Fish with a man face.
Imagine, remember Big Mouth Billy Bass or whatever the fuck that thing was called?
Yeah, the one.
Imagine they sold that, but it was
the
just
one that
like
sings on the wall.
This, and it would pop off, and it would have a creepy latex mouth, and it would like talk to you.
God,
and
gross.
Pat, what,
Dan, look
what
at Pen Pen Triicelon. Pen Pen Triicelon.
I saw it. It's terrifying. The hippo looks like a Five Nights at Freddy's character.
It's an actual fucking fever dream, and that's exactly like I get like the exact same vibes from Bugsnax that I got from that game playing that game years ago.
Dude, that fucking walrus with his teeth coming out of his mouth?
Yeah.
What's this fucking dog with the eyes? What?
I don't know.
You played this game?
I did.
And you like survived?
I'm alive now, yeah.
I feel like it's one of those games like you play and you die in 7 days.
Kind of. It looks like it. It gives me, like I have, like, weird, like, PTSD, like, regarding that game. Like, the second I saw the Bugsnax trailer, like, when they announced it, I was like, oh.
This is a sequel to Pen Pen Triathlon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we not talk about this anymore? Can I move on?
Yeah, I'll move on.
Thank you.
Getting heartburn?
No. I just don't want to look at that fish thing anymore.
Yeah, I'm making my background.
Just send that to your girlfriend.
Yeah, I'm
going to
make
it
Christina's
no
background.
Yo, when she texts you and says, come pick me up, just sit, respond with that.
I think she'll be like, she's walking. Don't come.
She just responds with, never mind.
Bye. Okay, so the Pathless Creators of Abzu is a game that got announced. The PS5 version was showed during the showcase.
Is that the Glidy Man that shoots arrows?
Yeah, literally just looks like you're playing
Glidy Man, arrows.
Yeah, that looks like a weird rhythm survival game. I don't know if I'm into that.
It looked neat.
It looked different, but just, I don't know.
Something different.
A lot of arrows.
Genshin Impact looks like something that's very much Pat and Dan shit. Open world RPG.
Very anime. It kind of like I think they penned it like at least that's what it looked like to me. It was like kind of an open like a Destiny esque thing, but like anime like melee combat like RPG stuff going on, which is kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like there was a lot in there.
Yeah, they only showed a trailer. They only showed a trailer, so I don't know.
Very pretty.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a very pretty.
Been to try it out when it. Eventually is a thing.
Temtem Pokemon style game that was a big hit on Steam for like a little bit. Flash in the Pan type of thing that's coming to PS5 in 2021. So
we
if anyone doesn't have a Nintendo console and they want a Pokemon game thing, Temtem is for you.
Cool.
All right.
So there was some enthusiasm, Brian.
No, because I don't care. All right, these are just some quick news items that I thought were worth mentioning. Animal Crossing has outsold Breath of the Wild. That's a big one.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Dan made a good point about this one earlier because we were just talking about it. That Breath of the Wild is like very much for like the Nintendo person, whereas Animal Crossing is like for everybody.
Yeah. Animal Crossing whereas, also like, came out in a point in time where everybody was stuck at home and like was very much like catered to that. Like I need something to do.
That,
like
that came out in March, right?
Yeah, it came out like right when this happened.
Yeah, no, that definitely helped sales, but still, you know, I was just saying like, you know, Breath of the Wild, like you know. We were comparing like our girlfriends, like, you know, my girlfriend would never fucking give a shit about a video game, but Animal Crossing actually seemed interesting to her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like,
yeah,
if I turn to Breath of the Wild, she'd be like, what the fuck is this? You know?
Yeah, Breath of the Wild is like for the Nintendo, like the Zelda fan, like Animal Crossing, like anybody can play.
Anyone, yeah. See, Amanda play that shit all the time whenever I log on to Switch. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Any chance she gets, she grabs it.
Yeah. Pikmin 3 is coming to Nintendo Switch in October.
That's cool.
Pikmin?
It's... Pikmin. Sorry, I said Pikmin.
I didn't know that game existed until.
Yeah, it was Wii U because it was Wii U, so, and who cares?
I didn't know that. Yeah,
Pikmin 3,
is
like, this is cool. It's coming with all the DLC and a new co-op mode. I really just wish they would re-release the original for Switch because that's the one I played. That's the one I want to play. Game. Pikmin is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think the original is the one I played too.
Always wanted to.
Different.
I watched my mom play it, but I never got to play it.
I don't know.
Yeah, you get all,
yeah, I'm just picturing little just, you I like, can I play the Pikmin? No!
Pikmin is like the perfect game for like kids because you take control of like the little tiny critters and they're all adorable and they do different things and they follow you around.
And you can sacrifice them to the animals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you like throw them at, you like use them as weapons. You like throw them at like.
Yeah, we gotta, they save you. Up. Well, not save, but you use them to save you. Yeah. And like, they use them to solve puzzles. And
well, they save you.
Save me! Like, and you just throw
it. They don't know any better.
You hurl it like a fucking.
Yeah, they don't have feelings.
Like an axe. Yeah, you're right.
They might have feelings. You don't know that.
Oh, so all these little men are just dying, like, very sad? Like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they float away with, like, little ghosts.
They have families.
They, like, float away with, like, little ghosts when they die. So. It's a little emotional.
Okay,
Morbid.
Valorant Act 2 starts August 5th, includes new character Killjoy, the newest agent, and has a new battle pass.
Cool.
It would also finally brings Deathmatch to Valorant.
Also cool.
So we have to play for 20, 45 minutes every time we want to play?
Yeah, that's... I love Valorant, and I love the fucking... whatever the game mode is called, the bomb, but it takes way too
very
long.
Much a commitment.
Yeah.
And the shorter game mode is lame, so...
That it is. Apex Legend Season 6, a new character, Rampart, looks really neat.
Actually, didn't they have like, did they like show her in action at all or no?
It was more of like a cinematic trailer. So the character Rampart is described as an expert modder who made her name in underground fight clubs. That's the quote. So the trailer for Rampart, the gun that she used is called Sheila. So I think her ult is like a minigun, apparently, or might be, because in the teaser trailer she's using that. So that might be her ability. Is cool. She like?
There's not many like. That, there's not like many like damage focused ults in that game, so that's kind of cool.
There is a new. I don't know if it's a new mode. Or if it's going to be like specific to something like a game mode, but there's going to be a crafting system, kind of like what like Fortnite introduced with like the workbenches. I don't know if that was in any other open world, like not open world, but any other battle royale game. But it just like the website description said, cool, collect materials around the map and build something better. So I don't really know what that means. Maybe it's like if you find a white shield, you can then build a legendary shield if you have the materials. I don't know. The one thing I will say is every season, a new all the new characters they introduce are always pretty unique and cool looking. They're very diverse, which I really appreciate. There's a new gun called the Volt, which is an electrified submachine gun, which looks really neat. Obviously, new Apex pack skins, all that stuff, etc. A couple new characters get new heirloom sets, which is cool. I've never gotten one of those, but sure, they exist. Apex is still, I think, doing a really good job. I'm curious what the player base looks like nowadays, but...
still pretty active. Like
it's always going to have its players.
That's good, because that's the one thing I was going to say, is I don't really know being that I haven't played it in a while, but every time a new season comes around, it always kind of like piques my interest, and I say to myself, I should do this because I really like
I follow
Apex.
A few people on Twitter that play it like regularly.
Yeah, the subreddit's always active. There's always something on there.
All right. Any thoughts on that or just
I really hope that and I also really hope that whatever this crafting thing is sequestered to its own fucking game mode, because I think it's perfectly okay as it is. And the crafting stuff works fine for Fortnite because of what the game is. I don't think something like that would translate well to Apex.
Like, from what I've read, and the description is pretty vague. It's not like this long, winded thing explaining exactly what the nuances of the new systems might be. Mm-hmm. But from what I can understand, it's like if you get a gun or a piece of equipment, you have to find a station to upgrade it.
Gotcha.
It won't be a shield or like a shield cell or even like a weapon mod. Mm-hmm. Like you find like a white tier clip, then you could upgrade it to like the legendary weapon clip. Like I don't think it's like crafting in the sense of Fortnite where you're building a fucking base once you get shot at. But I think it's more of in the vein of like you could upgrade your equipment.
Yeah, no, that's that. If it's that, if that's what it is, I'm perfectly fine with it. Just the instant I hear crafting and it involves a battle royale, my mind goes to Fortnite, and I don't want Fortnite to exist.
Speaking of Fortnite, they're adding cars, apparently.
Yeah, they added them already.
Yeah, they did.
They've been adding cars. Yeah, they've been talking about that forever at this point, I feel like.
I don't know. I just saw like a big truck drive through like a building, and I was like, all right.
You let me know, Brian.
No.
You just let me know.
You're tired.
Any other game on the planet,
Brian,
you could probably get me to play before I play Fortnite again.
Trying to play Seaman?
Yeah, Seaman.
That one? Yeah, Seaman. That's fine. Yeah, I'll play that. I'll play that before I play Fortnite again.
Seaman Royale?
Yes.
Just a bunch of fucking just slapping each other.
100 Seamans enter, 1 Seaman wins. Kind of sounds like how it works, actually, in real life.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, Andrew, that's a good one. Oh, God.
Proud of you, buddy.
B-roll.
Proud of you.
All right. So in the last bit of news, Trump ordered against Tencent, apparently won't impact video games. So I saw this in the news today. I figured it was worth mentioning. I saw a lot of people react to it on Twitter. But more details have come out about the executive order against Tencent. It's mainly focused
WeChat,
I think it is.
WeChat.
So Dance Byte is according to TikTok. There's a company that was TikTok.
Cool.
Yeah. No,
two different things. So, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to confuse you.
No, I know. No, I thought that. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
All right. So just for some context here, Tencent owns a majority stake in companies like Riot Games and a lot of other, like Activision Epic. Blizzard, Epic. It has its hand in a lot of video game companies.
Yeah, literally everything.
So, according to the LA Times, the White House clarified that the executive order concerning WeChat only blocks transactions related to WeChat, not those involving other Tencent holdings. So, the ban itself won't go into effect until 45 days from August 6th, at which time the Secretary of Commerce will outline exactly what is not affected by the executive order. So, some things might happen, but for now, it seems like video games are safe from this. So even if the ban itself doesn't directly target or affect game companies at all, it still might have a chance to impact them indirectly, saying.
That makes sense.
Just because Tencent itself has already seen some impacts of the order just from like stocks falling and stuff like that. So
I mean, I don't think anything about Tencent legitimately, but like it just sounds inherently evil to me. Just like something they're doing this, but like they actually are cloning babies somewhere in the world or something like that. So like I'm fine with them being
they've literally got like an investment in like literally anything you can think of.
But you have to think it's a front for like more nefarious things.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like they literally like they just have their claws everywhere.
Yeah.
Just so that you can't see what's going on in like the headquarters.
Where they're taking over fucking the world. Literally,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, aliens.
Yeah.
Semen.
Them Seamans.
This whole thing is so weird, isn't it? How like the president's like bullying an international company to sell its some of its operations to an American-based company. Yes,
that doesn't surprise me.
Meanwhile, Facebook steals just as much of our information, but instead of giving it to the Chinese government, it gives it to the American government.
Yeah, no, Andrew, that's shady in-house shit. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's better than TikTok, who's a Chinese-run company who gives its own spies on people in America to give to themselves in China, so... Mm-hmm. It's also not great either.
Yeah, well, now the China knows that I'm currently shopping around for like 4 keyboards, so it worked. If you guys want a cool, like, just for people to listen, the Verge has a really cool article about the whole thing. It's something about, like, the war on TikTok is because the U.S. can't handle the truth or something is, like, the title of it. It should be on, like, the front page. I read it today. It's a really cool write-up. Makes you realize how dumb it is.
Yeah. Oh, this whole thing with the ban of it and, like, all that, etc.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it's just the fact that it's not the author, the writer, whatever, said something of like it's not a it's not like a is Facebook better or worse or similar to TikTok, but it's more of is the United States better, worse, or similar to China, something like that. Like the way he breaks it down, like it's literally just because like. Presence.
Well, yeah, I mean the U.S. government, yeah. Not to fucking keep going with this political shit, and we can move on immediately after I'm done making my point.
Yeah.
But the U.S. government can't, like, I guess fucking overlord, like, whatever is going on with, like, this Chinese-run company, and they can just fucking, like, completely control the flow of information from Facebook and, like, make, like, they can't do that shit with TikTok, so...
TikTok scares them, but it's funny that the same government that's scared of TikTok is the same government that employs the people that are grabbing protesters and throwing them and
spiriting them away,
driving away. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, let's move on. We're not a political podcast.
No, furthest thing from it.
Oh yeah, don't get me started.
You started yourself.
Either way, the only reason it was mentioned is because it Tencent.
Yeah,
because
of the
Tencent has its fucking hands in a ton of video game companies, and we figured it was worth mentioning. But to Andrew's point, definitely
something to
pay attention to. And we've said this before numerous times in regards to just general issues, world issues, and whatnot. To just be educated, educate yourself. You know, read not just one article, but a few. Find varying opinions. You know, like don't just see something on fucking Twitter and knee jerk reaction. That's never a good thing. So.
No. It's nice to just read, educate yourself. The Gamers Rise Up meme might become real.
Well, on that note, some off-topic. What do you guys got?
I have been listening to 2 records that are very good. Classics of Love put out a new EP called World of Burning Hate. For those of you that don't know Classics of Love, you might know Operation Ivy. The singer Jesse Michaels, this is his new band. It's not ska, it's like straight up a hardcore punk record. It's very good. And then also this record called Onion by Shannon and the Clams. It's really cool. It's like 1950s rock and roll mixed with like doo-wop, but it's like new and it's really good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's all I got.
Nice.
I came out a couple months ago, but I've listened to it recently. I never really got into them, but this album was really great. Going to butcher the fucking name. Hopefully one of you guys have also listened to this band, Wakatachi? Waxatachi?
Yes, I know exactly.
Waxaachi? Is that how you say it?
Brad is the only one I've ever met who can pronounce this like the right way.
Yeah, it sounds like a Brad-ass fucking thing.
It's basically the sound that Pac-Man makes is the name of the group.
So I will spell it. It is Waxahachite.
Waxahachite.
You're adding extra syllables in there.
So, I think when this album came out, and this was probably a couple months ago, I might have recommended it on here.
Oh, did you? I don't remember. St. Cloud.
St. Cloud was the one you're looking at? Yeah, that album's it's a fucking bop.
I just came across
the whole thing.
Also,
Out in the Storm's probably my favorite record of hers. That was the one that was released in 2017.
Yeah, I remember trying a few times. Maybe I'll give that another try, but I remember like not being super into this album. Like every song is like great.
St. Cloud is definitely more upbeat, I feel like. Whereas Out in the Storm might be a little bit more
sad boy music.
Nah, just like obscure would be the word I'd use.
Okay. I gotta check it out.
Either way. Yeah.
And then one other thing is Cruel Summer, it's Ed Brubaker's like crime book on Image. That the hardcore, the first hardcover collectible edition comes out in a couple weeks, and I pre-ordered that, so I'm really excited to read it because I never had a chance to read the issues. So if you're into Ed Brubaker, which you should be, check that out.
Ed Brubaker nice. Rules.
That's it.
All right, cool. An album that came out today that I've been listening to is called Purple Noon by Washed Out. It's an alternative record.
I love Washed Out. They're really cool.
Yeah, this album's fucking really great, man. I listened to it twice today.
I didn't know they put out.
Yeah, I like this one.
For those who don't know, it's the people that do this the theme song, the Portlandia.
There you go.
Did Thank not you, know Andrew. That.
That's how I know them.
Yeah, Washed Out. They're cool. Him. They're definitely different. It's not like it's not alternative in the sense of like alternative rock. It's like literally alternative music. It's got like a bit of pop and a bit of like electronic, and it's kind of like a few different spectrums of genres, I would say. Yeah, I like that. I like it a lot. Listen to it a couple times today. So that's a good one.
We'll listen to that tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I've been watching Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
HBO Max.
Yeah.
Fuck, dog. That is a great show.
Yeah, buddy.
How awesome. Don't say how you see him for the first time, but how awesome is it the first time you see Brendan Fraser on camera?
It's great. It's so good. His every character.
It's like, Rick O'Connell, what are you doing?
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's fucking phenomenal in it. I'm so excited that it has two seasons because I love it. Like, I'm just so glad that I have, like, a lot to consume right now.
Yeah.
Every character in it is fucking phenomenal. Deanna Guerrero, who plays Crazy Jane.
Dude.
Right? Yeah, she's
oh,
great.
My God.
Her ability to, yeah. like, just on the spot shift between all these personalities and, like,
it's like, honestly,
oh, my
I,
fucking
like,
Lord.
And I reference this because it's, like, the only thing that I can compare it to, because it's, like, one of the only things in, like, current media that relates to it, and that's from Split and the other... Yeah.
Glass.
Glass, thank you. So James McAvoy's alternate personality. Mm-hmm.
The Legion?
Yes, his performances in those, I think that she is very much on par.
Yep.
With his performances, she just, like you guys said, just being able to change just, like, the accent, who she is, her mood, drop of a fucking hat. Like, I feel like sometimes they give her some layups and they let her play as one character for, like, a little bit.
Yeah.
And then there's just, like, certain sequences where it's just, like, it's changing, like, rapidly.
Yeah.
Like, and you're just, like, fucking sitting there in awe, like, wow, like, this is fucking...
It's like you're having just as much of a hard time keeping up as like Robot Man is. Or
yeah,
and it's like he's like, "You all right?
What episode are you? Yeah, what episode are you on?"
We just finished five. Me and my girlfriend are watching it, and she's away this weekend, so I won't be able to resume until next week. But
so you met a lot of them.
So, yeah,
I there's a very good example of her ability to do this shit. Season 2, episode 2, about halfway through it, she switches between like five personalities in like 30 seconds, and it's all like. Like, and she's got, every one of them has a line, and she just, like, snaps back, and she's, like, back to Jane, and I'm like, what? It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. She's cool. I always thought that she was really funny in Orange is the New Black, so it was cool to see her, like, get away from that and do something, like, drastically different.
Also
where
just
she also
flex
has
her
room
fucking
to
muscles,
be,
like.
Yeah, flex her muscles, but also have room to be funny in a different way, because she still, like, she still makes you laugh, you know? Like, it's just not as, like... She's not playing like a you know ditzy female prisoner. Really cool. I gotta get back to that.
I mean, just from like the introduction, I thought for all those characters was really really cool. And then just like just how fucking obscure it gets, with like the time bending reality type shit.
Yeah.
Like there was a couple episodes where I was just like, yo, what the fuck is up right now?
Yeah, how good is fucking Alan Tudyk?
I was just gonna say his character. Is just like fucking so comic booky and obscure, and it's such like a huge swing for a show like this to just like have that be like the villain immediately, and then like you know because I'm like how the fuck do they even deal with this, and then like the you know it goes off and they do other things, and that's just kind of like the overlaying like bigger issue, and just like how it like evolves with the characters is very good.
Yeah.
So I'm.
When you get a chance, Brian, look up what he looks like in the comics.
Mr. Nobody.
Yeah.
I will. I'll look.
You know how he? It looks like he doesn't belong in the show, and it same thing with the comics. Like it very much looks like he just like doesn't belong there.
It's really also cool. there's so many good like character moments like throughout season one, even in season 2, like there was a I think it was episode 3. I just watched season 2, and like the hell's his name, Larry Trainer is Negative Man or whatever.
Negative Man. Yep.
Negative. Yeah.
Also, he's played by Matt Bomer. I think it is.
B-O-M-E-R. He's fucking phenomenal. Fucking
great.
Yeah. Very good. And like he had like a very very big like character moment in episode 3, and like it was like incredible. And they do that like a lot throughout the show. Like there'll be like entire episodes or like multiple episodes like dedicated to like a character, like the bullshit that these characters have to go through a lot of the time. So, show's great.
Yep.
Very good.
And to reference our Discord real quick, okgamers.com, we'll link you to an invite. The discourse that we have in there about shows and comic book shows, and you know, just like the specific fact that like I love that I could mention something like this, and a lot of people be like, oh yeah, this is great, like, or you know, you just get to have that quick interaction. So shout out to our Discord. I appreciate everybody who's in there and communicates with us. So. Anybody else have some off topic? That's all I have that's new.
I started an anime on Netflix called Japan Sinks 2020. It's some of the most depressing shit I've ever watched in my life. That's it, really. I haven't really watched much. I actually hadn't watched Doom Patrol in a while. I like started season 2 and then didn't. Like, I watched like one episode and then I hadn't watched any more since. So once you mentioned that you started watching, I was like, you know what, I gotta get back to that. So I started watching it again. I think that's it. I haven't really watched much else or really listened to anything recently. So that's it.
All right, time to wrap it up. Do I get the thumbs up? We can
thinking so. We can
bring this one out to sea, as Andy used to say.
Thinking so.
No, nothing. Okay. So as always, thank you guys for listening. This was another episode of the OK Gamers podcast. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Zinzer Brian, Dan's at Dean Nolan's, Pat at PC Mirth, and Andrew at Andrew Gebbia. Mentioned it before, but I'll mention it again. OKGamers.com should link you to a invite to our Discord. If you can't get to that or it doesn't work for some reason, you could just reach out to any of us on Twitter and we will get you an invite. So feel free to jump in there and talk to not only us, but everybody else that's in there that communicates and talks about games, movies, fucking comics, etc., and all things alike. So
our little community is pretty chill. We'll talk about anything you want, really, and somebody will jump in a conversation with you and, you know, shoot the shit.
Good group.
All right, as always, guys, thank you for listening and enjoy the remainder of your
day. Goodbye.
Goodbye.